Hey guys, I'm Jen, owner of Hello June Creative, a boutique brand and web design studio. I'm here to help you learn, up-level, and find community in your design business journey. Just remember, the only designer you need to be better than is the one you were yesterday. Hey everyone, welcome back to Better the Brand Designer podcast. I'm going to have another short and sweet but really value-packed episode for you guys today, all about how to up-level your on- and offboarding processes. I feel like this is something that I overlooked for a really long time in my own process because I, of course, was so focused on the design and the strategy and the actual delivery of all of the elements that the client had signed on for. But I realized kind of over time that elevating those touch points of, you know, the first couple emails the client receives after they sign on with you, and then after the project is complete, do they feel taken care of? Do they feel like they understand how to use their brand elements? Do they feel supported? Are they given an opportunity to provide a testimonial for you? Those types of things are what clients really remember, and it kind of goes back to that quote that I think of all the time that says, you know, people won't necessarily remember what you said, but they will remember how you make them feel. And that's kind of the philosophy behind this elevated part of our client experience. Could we just send some random emails and be done with it? Absolutely. And that would probably save a lot of time and money. But this just really makes my clients smile. It makes them feel like I truly care for them, which I do. It makes them feel like I'm excited that they signed on and I'm grateful to have their business. And all of those things really go into the way a client approaches a project with you and their trust levels. If a client doesn't really feel like you understand what's going on, or that you don't like have a good handle on the timeline of the project, or they feel like they're in the dark, they're going to start feeling a little anxious. They're not going to have that high level of trust in you. Whereas if you have a very strong, straightforward process where you're guiding them through from the very beginning before they even fill out their questionnaire or even after you're done delivering all the elements that they signed on for, they're just going to have a much better experience. And that has a huge impact on people referring their friends and other businesses to you. So this is definitely something that helps, I think, increase the number of clients that you're going to be getting. It helps just really elevate the way that the client feels during their time with you, which just helps, I think, if the client's having fun, if I'm having fun, it helps me be a better designer. It helps me create better work for my client. Designing for an upset client is stressful and it makes me not want to work on the project, but designing for a client who's happy, who feels taken care of, that's the type of headspace that I want to be in when I'm creating designs for my clients. So let's dive right into onboarding first. I have both task lists written out right here that I'm going to read through and just kind of give you guys a little bit more context on. A quick note is that my team completely handles the on and offboarding processes for me, but you know, this wasn't always the case. I did it myself for many years and you guys can do it yourself as well. This is actually a great like first or second thing to hand off to an admin support person or a production designer, which is what I recommend for someone's first hire. If you feel like you're drowning in work or you want to have an intentionally short work schedule, on and offboarding is absolutely something that you can outsource very easily as long as you have a very clear list of to-dos for your admin support person or your VA. So let's start with onboarding. Client signs on, you have a great discovery call, send the proposal, et cetera. All that happens. They put their deposit down, they sign their contract. Okay, now what happens? First thing is that I countersign the contract, which sometimes I forget to, but HoneyBook reminds me. Love HoneyBook. There is a code in the episode description for you to get a little discount off of HoneyBook in case you're curious about using it. It has grown so much, I feel like, over the past few years, and it truly has almost everything. I always say if Notion and HoneyBook ever like combined together, that would be my ideal situation, but I love the Notion HoneyBook combo. And I'll be talking about HoneyBook a lot in the on and offboarding processes because that is where it really, really shines. I use Notion for a lot of the internal stuff in the timeline tracking, and then HoneyBook for the like booking and leads and on and offboarding and stuff. So the first thing that we do on our onboarding checklist is we create the client's questionnaires for their project. Most of my projects have only two questionnaires, one for branding, one for web. And then if it's just branding, there's just one questionnaire. We duplicate those from templates saved in HoneyBook and add them to the client's project in HoneyBook. Then we create the client's portal in Notion. It is, again, a template that we duplicate and then populate with links to their proposal, their contract, their invoice. It has a lot of information about communication guidelines. It kind of walks them through the timeline. It's pretty much everything they're going to need to know about their project. And then we go back into HoneyBook and pull up the questionnaire and then send. We click send on the questionnaire, but then it gives you an opportunity to write an email in which we have a canned welcome email, canned meaning it's pre-written little email template that we can populate in there. We put the link to the client portal, we put the link to the questionnaire, and then there's a couple steps in that welcome email where the client has to, you know, pick the date for their initial kickoff call as well as their web planning call. There's only two calls typically in our client timelines to keep it really super simple for everyone. So we want them to choose from a couple of times. We don't really use a scheduler link there because we want them to have the call on a specific date. We don't want them to choose which date they want. We have all of our calls on Mondays, and so the kickoff call is on a Monday, and then the other call is on a Monday, like later on in the project. So we just give them a couple times that we're available. And typically our Mondays book up really quickly just because all of our calls happen then. So we give them exactly what times we're available. And then they respond to that email saying, hey, I want this time. And then we send them a HoneyBook scheduler link directly from HoneyBook to get that booked in. Then HoneyBook will automatically remind them and they can cancel the call or reschedule. And it's actually really nice. We really try not to let them cancel or reschedule because the project timeline is very, very dependent on those calls happening on those specified dates. And then we create a task. Lauren does this. She creates a task for herself to remind the client to fill out the questionnaire 1 week in advance if they haven't filled it out. And then if they still haven't filled it out 1 week in advance, she sends another email 3 days in advance to make sure that they are filling out that questionnaire. Clients not filling out their questionnaires will wreck the timeline of a project. And if we can avoid it by reminding them, then we absolutely do. The next step is we create a new Slack channel for that particular client. We just name it the client's name, and then all internal communication around that particular client happens in that Slack channel. Then we assign our intern to send out the correct type of gift box. So this is the really, really fun part. I'm going to go through my gift boxes and tell you guys exactly what we put in them, how we decided to do our gift boxes, why we decided to do it in the onboarding process. And then the last step, just to finish up the onboarding steps, is Lauren creates a new folder in my email. It's a label folder, so it's the name of the client, and then she sets up a filter for that client. So whenever that client emails me, it still goes to my main inbox, but it automatically will label that client email with their particular tag. So if I want to go back and look at the emails that a client has sent me or anything related to the project that happens through email, I just go into my Gmail and then I click on that label, and then I can see everything that that client has sent me in addition to HoneyBook notifications around their questionnaire being filled out, et cetera. And that is a really great way to keep email as your kind of client communication tool, which I have found that I really enjoy and my clients really enjoy as well, but also keep your inbox very nice and neat and organized. In my main inbox, the only emails in there are emails that I need to actively do something with. And then once I do something with them or I respond to them, I automatically go and archive them. So I really am always gearing for inbox zero. Huge shout out to Lauren for helping me organize my inbox in that way. Things were getting a little crazy and I was like, oh, do we need to switch to another project management system? But I really think this label system is great. This is how she runs things in her studio, LB Creative. And it's been working out great for Hello June. Okay, so let's talk about gifts and presents. This is just so much fun. Originally, I used BoxFox, and this is actually a great option if you don't really want to curate your own gift box or like design your own gift box and you just kind of want to pay someone else to do it for you. Box Fox gifts, we would send them, they would be cost between $50 and $120. And I feel like that's a good price point to send a really nice, thoughtful gift with really high quality stuff in it, because the client is spending like thousands of dollars with me. And in some cases, tens of thousands of dollars. So that's a great option if you're just kind of wanting to start out and get your feet wet with client gifting. We eventually decided that we could do it cheaper and more branded if we were to build our own gift boxes and basically hold inventory and buy things in bulk. We actually were able to get the gift box total, including the shipping and the actual box itself and all the packing materials and everything, lower than what we were spending on BoxBox. I believe our client gift boxes, I think it costs us like $72 or something, like including shipping, for our large boxes, and then our smaller boxes are just less than that. I can't remember what that total is, but let me go through what is in our larger gift boxes. So we use Packlane to create the mailer box, and it's completely branded on the inside and out. The outside's all pink. It has my tagline on it. It's got my logo. It's like a fun box to receive in the mail. It's an immediate like, hey, this is what you invested in. We are professional. We care for you. And on the inside, you open it up, and on the back of the top, so when you open it up, it's like facing you, it says, "Welcome to Hello June. We're so excited to have you on board." And then there's just fun, like branded little gifts inside. We have a pair of UGG socks, raspberry cocoa chocolate, strawberry champagne bears, and one of those little acrylic boxes. And we made our own label for that. And it's like pink and sky. Just like the little badges on my Instagram. So that's very, very branded. We have a strawberry champagne candle with its own little sticker on it. It has my HJC monogram on there. And so whenever the client lights it, they'll be thinking of me, which I think is cute. And then like a little pink pearl mask for, you know, just like a, like to use in your bath or your shower or something. And then we do crinkle paper, like crinkle craft paper, as like the packing stuff, and we just kind of nestle everything in there. So when they open it up, hopefully it hasn't shifted too much in shipping, and it looks like really beautiful. I've seen my clients share about this on Instagram and tag me, which is an amazing way to get your name out there, get some visibility. Like typically people will, you know, take a picture, tag us like, wow, this was so thoughtful, so excited to work with Hello June, just signed on with them, and then their followers see that, we'll get new follows, we'll get new eyeballs on our work from that. So that, I think that in itself is worth it. But then also the client is really happy and we show them how much we appreciate their business. Then we have a smaller box and we send those to VIP day clients or referrals. So people who send us a client, we'll send them this little gift box in the mail. It just says, thank you, so grateful for you on the inside. It's just a tinier version of that like mailer box. It's still completely branded, has where color meets class, my tagline on the outside, it's pink on the outside, it's dark gray on the inside. We do the crinkle cut paper as well. And then we just do a face mask and then a little bit of like just like hand cream and stuff. We used to use a set from the body shop, but we use a Burt's Bees set now, just like a nice little something something to tell them how much we appreciate them. And then I believe we have like super teeny tiny box that only holds one candle for just little gifts where we want someone to know that we're thinking about them, or we did a collaboration with someone and they didn't really pay us, but we still want to say thank you with something in the mail. So there is that as well. And we're actually going to be sharing a reel about like how we pack our mailer boxes on my Instagram at Hello June Creative soon. It might not be up by the time this episode goes live. But I will also see if I can put on our Better Podcast stories what our boxes look like. I'm looking at the little pictures right here right now. The reason that I decided to do a onboarding gift instead of an offboarding gift is I really just wanted to ride the wave of client excitement, especially after they've made such a huge like trusting decision in terms of submitting a, you know, multi-thousand dollar deposit for my studio before seeing any type of return yet because we do require typically a 25% deposit. And so I just really felt like I wanted them, like the first thing that they see from us to be something that they weren't expecting, something that went above and beyond. Like I don't tell them about it. I just put it in the mail, or my intern puts it in the mail. Hey, Kaylee. And they just receive it. And I forgot to mention there's a little branded note card in there as well that has like a handwritten note on it that says, thank you so much for signing on with Hello June. We can't wait to work with you. And then XOXO, like the Hello June team, or Jen and the Hello June team. And so that's just like a nice little handwritten, you know, card that they really appreciate. And it's just really nice for us to send. We like doing it first. Because I feel like at the end of a project, sometimes you never know how a project's going to go, first of all. And so if the project doesn't really end up that great, I mean, it doesn't happen super often with us, but if the client is for whatever reason not happy, or the timeline got pushed back or whatever, sometimes it's just nice to do it in the beginning than it is to send them this huge gift box later on when like they might not be as excited or a little burned out. Not that our projects will burn clients out, because we do like 99% of the work and they just have to do the questionnaire and calls and stuff. But I just feel like that initial energy of signing on, being excited about something new, is what we want to continue with our client gift. Okay, as far as offboarding, once the client has received all of their files, etc., we do the following. In the email that we send their final files in, this is for like branding or if they've like launched their website, we always send a couple of little pre-recorded Loom videos showing them how to access and purchase their font files and how to install them on their computer, because that's a really big, like, frequently asked question for us. We show them how to peruse their brand identity package folder, like where are their logos, what should they use, like an SVG file format for versus a JPEG. And that's a video that Lauren recorded on my behalf that we sent out to all of our clients. And then the last one is how to use their color palette. And there is some information in there as well about utilizing Canva and Canva Pro to create their brand kit. A lot of our clients go on to use Canva Pro to use their new brand and make some, you know, little graphics and social media templates and things like that. So that email in and of itself is very supportive. We don't just say, hey, here's your files, bye. Like, there's a lot in there for them to be able to go on to that next step and properly utilize what they paid for. As far as web, I know I've talked about this in my web podcast episode earlier this season, but we provide a pretty comprehensive Loom video library that links out to pre-recorded videos from the Show It team, but also videos that our team records specific to that client. So when we're handing off their website, they've launched, they're excited, they really feel like they are going to be able to teach themselves how to use the platform, and they're not just kind of like grasping in the dark and trying to figure things out on their own. They feel very, very supported by our team well after the launch. We don't really do any sort of like 2 weeks of like post-launch support or anything like that. If a client like has a question or they find a bug, I just fix it for them. I never really had a client like abuse that. And we actually have just started working on a new service where it's like a monthly maintenance fee. It's a 12-month commitment. It's a pretty low fee. And then it allows us to go in and make tweaks and content changes and add portfolio stuff, add and remove team members for the client, so they don't really have to worry about that. And my clients have been very excited about this. So that's been a really fun thing. It's completely optional. Client does not have to get that. They can completely update their website on their own, but a lot of them are really busy and they don't want to do that. So then on the admin side of offboarding, we change the project status in HoneyBook to offboarding. We create a testimonial form in their project within HoneyBook, and then we use our offboarding canned email to send that testimonial form to the client. It basically says, hey, we loved working with you. It would mean the world to us as a small business just like you to take 2 minutes of your time to answer 3 short questions about your experience working with us. So we harp on the fact that it's short, it's super easy, and that it would mean a lot to us for them to fill out their testimonial. And then if the client hasn't responded in 10 days, we send them a reminder, or 7 days, we send them a reminder to complete their testimonial form, and then we will literally email them once a week until they fill it out. I know that sounds a little aggressive, but those testimonials are so important for us to attract new business, and this is what I recommend to my mentees as well. track down that testimonial. You don't have to send a testimonial to a client that you didn't think was really that happy, or if they're really not responding, then you can just give up. But if they're not responding to email, I will DM them. I'll send them a voice note. I'll be like, hey, just wanted to check in. I know that testimonial form, I'm probably at the bottom of your to-do list. I totally get it, but it would really mean so much to me and my studio if you were able to just jot down a couple thoughts. You can use bullet points about your experience working with me, or I'll just DM them the questions in Instagram. I am ruthless about getting that testimonial, and I want you guys to feel like you have permission to do that as well. Once the client fills out their testimonial form, I add it to an internal Notion document, and I archive the project in HoneyBook, so we're able to go in and pull client testimonials from our Notion database rather than having to go into HoneyBook, which is nice. And then our intern sends our clients a simple little thank you note. We have another printed, branded thank you card. It's not like a folded card. It's just a flat card, an envelope. It just says thank you, like thank at the top and then you at the bottom in our font, and it has our logo on it. And we just do like a handwritten, like thank you so much for working with us. It was such a pleasure and honor. Like congratulations on your launch. And we just kind of put that in the mail. It's just like a little touch point. It's not as big, obviously, as the client gift box, but it's just like something that shows them that we're thinking about them and that we're really just grateful for their business, and we wanted to congratulate them on their new look. And then the last thing is we archive the Slack channel so we can keep our Slack nice and clean looking. So that is a very fast overview of my entire on and offboarding processes. I know these are kind of afterthoughts sometimes, but every single little detail matters, particularly if you're positioning your studio as a boutique studio, as one that provides luxury, like holistic white glove level service. That is something that I talk about a lot with in my discovery calls, really, is that like, this isn't some agency where we're farming out the client to a bunch of junior designers. Not that I'm doing all of the design work, and they're very well aware of that. I'm very transparent about my team structure, but they get to talk to me. I'm emailing them. I'm managing their project. Like that's something that's really, really important to a lot of my clients in particular. This is not to knock agencies at all. Agencies do amazing work. And I know a lot of agencies that have a boutique feel where the founder is really like the face of the client interaction. They're still very involved, that type of thing. But that's just a little kind of thing that I've been saying on sales calls, because it's true. A lot of my clients are looking for that really personal touch. And that's another thing to just, continue supporting. My price point is that like they get a really, really just high end experience. And that's something that I really care a lot about and will put a lot of time, effort, and energy and money into. So let's do our inbox question for this episode. Heather Van Dyne wants to know how to explain the importance of following a brand guide when you offboard a client. So Heather, and anyone who's curious about this, it is really important for a client to follow their brand guide. We have a very specific style guide that we have as a template in Figma. All of my students in the Mini Mind get access to every single template in my business, all of my Notion templates, all of the templates for my brand strategy, etc., all my questionnaires. That is one of them. And we go through like do's and don'ts of using your logo, when to use your logo mark versus your primary, how to use your typography, those types of things. And it's just a very comprehensive overview. But in our offboarding email, we do explain like it is very important to maintain the integrity of your brand for you to really follow those steps and be like align your brand very closely with the style guide, because it will help your brand stay consistent visually and also have a consistent feel. So I would say put it in your offboarding email. If you have like a wrap-up call with the client, I know some designers do that, then you can talk about it then. You can even talk about it in the last call you have with them. If it's like our last calls are development review call or sometimes our web planning call, talk about it then. Just make sure that people are well aware of the importance of that. So that's really it. It can be super, super simple, but it's really important for clients to understand how to use their brand in a really beautiful and consistent way. That said, sometimes clients will not do that. They will not follow the guidelines. They'll stretch their logo. They'll use the wrong colors. They'll put it over something that makes it unreadable. You can reach out and remind them about their style guide, but sometimes you just gotta let it go, and clients are gonna use their assets in ways that feel good for them. So yeah, it's kind of annoying when that happens, but sometimes you just gotta let it go and know that you did your best in explaining how important it is for them to follow their style guide. Okay, that's it for today. Thank you guys again for just being here and learning from me and for all of the kind messages that I get every single week. I love hearing from listeners. I love hearing how you found the podcast. I love hearing what your favorite topics are. So absolutely DM me. Go ahead and take a picture of where you're standing right now or walking or running and tag the podcast at Better Podcast. Tag me at Hello June Creative and then shoot me a quick DM. I would love to chat. I hope you guys have a great rest of your week and I will see you next week. Bye everyone. Thanks for listening. Hit subscribe so you don't miss an episode. Leave a review, join our free Facebook community and share the pod with your designer friends so they can join the fun. Give me a shout on Instagram at Better Podcast if you want to submit an inbox question and visit the pod at hellojunecreative.co/podcast to learn more and snag discounts on my favorite resources. See you next week.